Awesome. Awesome. It's good to see everybody here, and I met some of you for the first time, so thank you for coming to Peace Chapel on a Sunday morning. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says this, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." So until we give, we won't be able to appreciate that God will provide. So giving is a part of our Christian mission. And as we increase our giving, good will be done not only in our lives, but around the world. So thank you for being obedient and with your tithes and your offerings. Well, one Easter Sunday morning, as the pastor was preaching a children's sermon, he reached into his bag of props and he pulled out an egg and he pointed at the egg and asked the children, "What's in here?" I know," a little boy exclaimed, "Pantyhose." Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. That's okay. Moving right along. Well, we're finishing up today the message series titled, "I Am." I Am. I Am Who I Am is the name that God gave himself to Moses. Fast forward to when Jesus was on the earth, he makes 7 I Am statements connecting himself to God the Father. The first one was this: "I am the bread of life. No one comes to me will ever be hungry again. Those who believe in me," Jesus said, "will never thirst." And the challenge is to choose more of God the blesser instead of just the blessings that he gives. You know what? We'll receive. Part 2, we talked about, "I am the light of the world," Jesus said. "If you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." Jesus heals a blind man, and they accuse Jesus of being a sinner, and they ask the blind man, he goes, I don't know, but all I know is this, "I was blind, but now I see." Part 3 is, "I am the gate for the sheep. Those who enter the sheep pen through me," Jesus said, "will be saved." Jesus is both the gate And he's the gatekeeper. There is no other way to heaven but through Jesus Christ. Part 4, we talked about, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. "I know my own sheep and they know me." Jesus was willing to die for us, to leave the 99 and to come after us, to protect us, to deliver us from the enemy, and to carry us on his shoulders when we need him to. Part 5 is, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. You are the branches. Remain in me, and I also remain in you." God will do whatever it takes to cause us to bear more fruit in our life. And because God loves us, he doesn't leave us where we are. God is more concerned about our character. He's more concerned about greater growth and more fruit in our life than he is about our comfort. I am the true vine. Part 6 is this: "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You see, Jesus was about to die on a cross, and he says, "I am the way." Jesus was about to be condemned by the lies of the religious leaders, and he says, "I am the truth." Jesus' lifeless body is about to be placed into a tomb. And Jesus says, "I am the life." Part 7, this past Friday, "I am he." Good Friday. When Jesus said, "I am he," the soldiers drew back and they fell to the ground. And as they came to arrest Jesus that night, Jesus was in full control of what was about to happen. We don't know why these soldiers fell. It could have been Jesus' glorious majesty that overpowered them, or his divine power was on display. Jesus is identifying with the Father when God told Moses, "I am that I am," is sending you, Moses, to deliver my people from slavery out of Egypt. Now Jesus stands in the garden, the "I am he" is sent to deliver us from the slavery of sin. Eden was the garden of disobedience and sin, way back in Genesis. Gethsemane, the garden that Jesus was just in, is the garden of obedience and submission. Good Friday. And heaven, one day, heaven will be the eternal garden of delight and satisfaction to the glory of God. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I think I was around 8 or 9 years old, and I was playing in the backyard, and I was excited about a camping trip that we were taking with the Royal Rangers. It's kind of like Boy Scouts, and of course my friends are going to be there, and I don't remember how it happened, but I fell, and I hit my arm on a trailer hitch, and it hurt really bad. My mom took me to the doctor, and it wasn't broken, but I sprained it pretty good. I don't think I cried. Okay, I cried, okay? I was 8 years old. They put my arm in a sling, and at first you're like, that's pretty cool. People are going to notice, get some attention. Hey, what happened to you? But I remember feeling pretty disappointed and discouraged because I couldn't go on that camping trip with my friends the next day. Just couldn't go. I believe we've all felt deeply disappointed in something that happened to us, and it affected us pretty hard. Couldn't go on the trip, didn't win the game, didn't get asked to the prom, missed an opportunity, didn't get the promotion, lost something important, and a million other things. Or maybe we were disappointed by someone, a parent, a family member, a friend, a colleague. They did or said something that really hurt us. They forgot to pick us up. They missed our game. They went behind our back. They took something that wasn't theirs. They weren't honest with us. They weren't there for us. And again, a million other things. That feeling of disappointment and despair, being let down, and frustration, inconvenience, and a setback, and failure, and it really shook us up. The reality is that people have and will let us down just as we have and will let them down. We get our hopes up high only for them to be dashed on the rocks. And after some time, this is what happens to us. We don't get our hopes up so high anymore because we know that we'll be disappointed again. So what we do is we become guarded, we become jaded, we become more cynical of others. We kind of keep people at a distance because who wants to be discouraged? Who wants to be disappointed again? But if we're honest with ourselves this morning, we really struggle in that we disappoint ourselves. Sometimes we have higher standards for ourselves than others or others than ourselves. And we may at times even be disappointed in God. He didn't answer our prayer for us in time of our need. He wasn't there. He was too late. And the title of my message this morning, I Am the Resurrection and the Life. As we close out this message series, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus himself said these seven statements. He boldly stood up and said, this is who I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am he. Who are you looking for? I am he. And finally today, I am the resurrection and the life. Today, we celebrate Easter, Resurrection Sunday. You see, there can be no resurrection if there wasn't a crucifixion. Jesus is alive. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Jesus had a friend named Lazarus, whom Jesus loved, who had two sisters named Mary and Martha, and they told Jesus that Lazarus is sick. And when Jesus heard this, he said, God's going to get the glory. And he stayed two more days where he was. It was about 16 miles away. Jesus delayed his arrival so he could demonstrate God's power. Jesus tells the disciples that Lazarus is just asleep, and the disciples are confused, as usual, right? So Jesus tells them, Lazarus is dead. Jesus already knew this. Something big was about to happen. So they head to Judea where Lazarus is, and this is where we pick up our story, where Lazarus is buried. In John chapter 11, starting with verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside, and said, the teacher is here, she said, and he's asking for you. And when Mary heard this, she got up and quickly went to meet him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. Verse 31, when the Jews who had been with Martha Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, and they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could he not have opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took the stone away. Then Jesus looked up and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they might believe that you have sent me. And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to him, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Mourners are still around giving comfort to Martha and Mary. And when Jesus arrives, Martha goes up to him and basically says, if he had been here, he wouldn't have died. Where were you? It sounds like Martha has lost all hope, but Jesus says to her, I know God will give you, Martha says to Jesus, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. And right before Jesus does an amazing miracle, he tells her that Lazarus will rise again. I know that, Jesus. In the last days, he will rise again. And then Jesus says this in verse 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Jesus, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Well, Martha leaves and she gets her sister Mary. And when Mary heard that Jesus was asking for her, she went to him. She comes to Jesus and she falls at his feet and, "Lord, where were you? If you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died." And as Jesus saw her and the other people weeping, Scripture says that Jesus was moved in his spirit. He was troubled. And even though he knew he was about to perform a miracle, he grieved with the pain and the sorrow of a friend's death. You know, some people saw Jesus weeping and they thought, well, he couldn't do anything. They saw Jesus heal others. Why couldn't he heal Lazarus? What happened there? Well, Jesus approaches the tomb and he tells them to remove the stone, and Martha objects, you know, he's been dead for 4 days, there's going to be an odor, it's going to stink. And Jesus asks her a question, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Jesus was wanting Martha to demonstrate her faith in him. Well, they roll the stone away. Jesus prays to the Father out loud so that the crowd had gathered might know that God had sent Jesus to the earth. You see, Jesus could have shown up on time. He could have shown up and healed Lazarus or raised him from the dead in a private ceremony with no crowd and no fanfare. No, Jesus arrived just in time so that God the Father would be glorified. Then Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." Lazarus came walking out of the tomb, still wrapped in burial cloths from head to toe. The dead was raised to life. It's been said that if Jesus did not say Lazarus' name, that all the dead would have risen and come out. But he specifically said Lazarus. That's the power to resurrect and give life. What a story. Pastor Spence, this is Resurrection Sunday. Why are you talking about Lazarus? Well, it's in this context that Jesus declared of himself, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." So there's a couple of lessons that we can draw from this story. The first one is this: God's delays doesn't mean I'm forgotten. Jesus delayed his arrival so he could demonstrate God's power. He knew that God was about to use him to do something really incredible, not only in Lazarus's and Martha and Mary's life, but for all those who were about to see, be an eyewitness to a miracle. And sometimes you can feel that God is late or God isn't there. When you pray, you expect God to answer immediately. I know I do. When God doesn't respond instantly to your prayers, you may assume that he doesn't care about you or your situation. It could be you don't understand his timing or his purpose. The Bible says his ways are not our ways. And the thing to remember, but is often hard to do, is to trust God in these delays. It doesn't mean he's forgotten you or your situation. God's delays doesn't mean I'm forgotten. What I do with my if matters. Martha and Mary, upon seeing Jesus, told Jesus in anguish, in pain, "If you had been there, my brother would not have died." If, for being such a small word, carries a lot of weight. They both believed Jesus to be the Messiah, to be the Son of God. They were personal friends of Jesus, and they even supported his ministry. But they were disappointed, and they were discouraged. They were filled with sorrow and grief that their brother had died. "If you had been here, Jesus, if you had been here." What about your if today? Are you living your life jaded because of your if? If Jesus performs a miracle, then I'll put my trust in him. If God answers a long-awaited prayer, then I'll believe in God. If you were there, God. If you were just on time, God. If you really cared about me, God. Fill in the blank. If you would have stopped fill in the blank, right? If you would have prevented fill in the blank, and you approach God with your if, and I love the picture, Jesus, he didn't rebuke Mary and Martha with their if, and he doesn't rebuke you, your if today either. But Jesus knew that a big miracle was about to take place. What I do with my if matters. It comes down to my faith. Although they didn't know it yet, the disciples were about to see with their own eyes the resurrection of Lazarus. In fact, they tried to talk Jesus out of going to Lazarus in Judea because earlier the people of that town tried to stone Jesus to death. Jesus, you don't want to go there. And Jesus reminds them that he is the light of the world. And for their sake, he's going to help their unbelief. Martha affirmed her faith in Jesus, and Jesus responds to her faith that her brother would live again. Only she thought he would live in the resurrection at the last day. See, her theology was correct, the doctrine of resurrection. But Jesus meant Lazarus would rise again today, now. Martha, hold on. Wait, something good's going to happen. Mary wept in her grief for her brother, and it moved the heart of Jesus. This morning you may be like the disciples, or Martha, or Mary. You have faith in Jesus, and you believe he is who he says he is. But as you go through pain, as you go through suffering or difficult circumstances, you begin to doubt the goodness of God. You begin to doubt what God says in his word. The trials you go through should increase your faith in a loving, caring God. But at times, your faith buckles. You see, spiritual growth is not automatic. When you go through delay or disappointment, when the situation seems hopeless, God's word is your source of encouragement, your source of truth. You must live by faith and not by sight. It comes down to my faith. I can come to Jesus. They brought Jesus to Lazarus' tomb, and there Jesus wept. Jesus wept for his friend. Jesus showed deep emotion. Jesus cared about his friends, this family. He was moved. Jesus is fully man and fully God, and Jesus, our high priest, can sympathize with our weaknesses. It's interesting to note that these two sisters respond to heartache. Martha's grief and disappointment, she gets up immediately and it drives her toward Jesus. Mary's sorrow and disillusionment keeps her from Jesus. She stayed at home. How do you respond when you're discouraged or when you're hurt? Do you move towards Jesus or stay where you're at in your pain? You can come to Jesus because he cares for you. He understands what you're going through. The writer of Hebrews chapter 4 says this, "For we do not have a high priest," that's Jesus, "who was unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." You see, Jesus is that high priest who understands, who is compassionate. He knows your weaknesses. I can come to Jesus. Well, the last one is this: death isn't the end for me. Death isn't the end for me. Jesus clearly taught the resurrection of the human body. Jesus wasn't late or delayed in coming to resurrect Lazarus. He was just on time. He's always on time. Sit back, because God is about to prove his power and receive all the glory through the Son. Yes, Lazarus did die again. But Jesus was pointing to his own death and resurrection. Jesus won the triple crown. He beat death, hell, and the grave. If Jesus had no power over death, then whatever else he did with his life, it doesn't amount to much. Death is your last enemy. But Jesus defeated death by his own resurrection. It has no control over him. You see, if Jesus had power to raise Lazarus from the dead and to rise from the dead himself, you too will rise from the dead. For those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, Scripture describes death as sleep, when one day you will be physically raised to life. If you believe in him, you will never die. What did he mean by that? If you believe in him, you will never die. You see, you will pass from physical death immediately into eternal life. The Apostle Paul talks about being absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus gives you a resurrected body and eternal life for your soul. Jesus not only gives spiritual eternal life, the Bible says that he is life. And to receive this eternal life, you must be born again. Death to the old sinful life, resurrection then to new life. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says this, "And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. Because he lives, we live." For Jesus to show what he had, that he had the power to give new spiritual life, Jesus gave Lazarus new physical life. To show that he could raise people from spiritual death into spiritual life, Jesus raised Lazarus from physical death to physical life. Anyone who dies, their soul and their spirit don't. Physical death is only a gateway to eternal life. And as a follower of Jesus, you don't have to fear death because death can't harm your soul. Death isn't the end for me. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? And Jesus is asking you what he asked Martha that day. Do you believe? Do you believe? Dealing with disappointments in life, it's not easy. Mary and Martha felt disappointed, but Jesus was on the way. Ultimately, we will disappoint one another. We're broken human beings. But God, he will never disappoint you. You see, God's delays in our lives doesn't mean that we're forgotten. I've said it often, if it isn't fixed, then God's not finished. We can settle our if with Jesus. We can put our trust in him. It really does come down to our faith. And our faith is precious to him. It really is. We can come to Jesus today. He loves and he cares for you. He loves you so much that he went to that cross and he died. And this love for you that he has for you, he won't leave you as you are. When we die, when we come to that time when we die, that's not the end. We will be with Jesus. How do I know that? Because Jesus said it. And he's never lied. He's always told the truth. I'm going to tend to believe the guy that rose from the dead than some author that's famous or historical figure. Jesus beat death. Okay, I'll follow that guy. My questions this morning is this. Are you struggling in the waiting, thinking maybe that God's forgotten you? Do you need to settle your if and put your trust in Jesus today? Do you need to bring your disappointments to God? Have you put your faith in Jesus? Is there a battle for your faith in your life? Do you believe He is who He says He is. Because you either answer that now, before you die, the Bible says you will answer in heaven as you stand before God. And based on if you believed Him or not, you will have a choice. You have to decide before you die. When you die, it's too late. Do you believe He is who He says He is? What do you need to bring to Jesus today? What burden are you trying to carry alone? I've said this before, but following God is a personal decision, but it's lived out with others. Together, life on life, loving, caring, praying for each other as we encourage one another closer to Jesus. And oftentimes it happens in a small group setting where you can share your burdens and share your hurts and others are caring and praying for you. Is there someone in your life, church, who you can come alongside of and encourage them in their waiting? Do you know someone devastated by disappointment that you can pray for and encourage? Are there loved ones that are struggling with doubt and hopelessness that you can support with the love and the hope of Jesus? Who in your life is carrying a heavy load that you can help shoulder the weight with an encouraging word, a prayer, some help? You see, death didn't win. Jesus is alive. The tomb is empty. It proves it. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And He gives, and He wants to give you life today as well as eternal life, the here and the now. Let's pray.